Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 14 and reading through verse 32. This is God's word. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied. "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus. "Everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I actually love this passage. This story is told in other Gospels also, but Mark gives us more details, the most vivid depiction of what happened. And for some people, this raises questions that come to them in various settings, various passages. Questions concerning the suffering of a child. Why is this kid suffering? Why do children suffer? You don't have to raise your hand, but some of you have had those thoughts. Why, if God is God, why, if he has all power and is loving and kind, why do kids get sick? Why do they suffer? Here's a child who's been suffering from childhood. He's the beloved son of this father. And the father has been powerless to help him or to get him help. And finally, the father brings him to Jesus. But it raises another question. Because if we look at this and we see that the source of this boy's affliction was in fact a demonic entity, does that mean that if someone's sick, it's because they have a demon? There was the woman who was bent over for years in Luke 13, and that was a demon. Jesus set her free. Huh. So demons cause sickness? The answer is sometimes. So there was really no physical problem here. It was just demonic. Oh, I didn't say that. It turns out that just like there is a connection between our emotional health and our physical health, there's a connection between the spirit realm and the physical realm. So they're not totally separate things. So you still haven't answered, is sickness always caused by demons? Okay, let me be very clear. Sickness is not always caused by demons. But sometimes sickness is caused by demons, definitely. But you could have like a physical problem that wasn't caused by a demon. Definitely. But don't think if you have a physical problem that isn't caused by demons, that demons are such nice guys that they're going to say, oh, that person's got a physical problem. Would not be okay for me to pick on them. Satan will exploit whatever weakness he can find. Physical, emotional, relational. Anything he can do to get in there, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his mission. So, you didn't answer, Pastor, why do children suffer? Ultimately, it's because all of our kids are growing up in a world that is in the grip of sin. If a mom does drugs, it has an impact on the baby, doesn't it? Some of us know kids who have fetal alcohol syndrome. Some of us know kids who were born addicted to drugs. But suppose the pregnancy is all fine, and then the kid is born into a family where there's substance abuse. Fortunately, that will not impact the children. Well, of course it will. Of course it will. What parents do has an impact on children. Okay, so I'm going to tell my therapist it's all mom and dad's fault. It's not just our parents who have an impact on us. If I'm driving down the road perfectly obeying the law, and somebody who's intoxicated crosses the yellow line and hits me head on, I am impacted by what they did that was wrong. All children are born into a world that is in the grip of sin. And it's not just those people out there who have sinned. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We can't just blame it on the other person. We can't just blame it on another political party. We can't just blame it on the media. That's what's wrong. It's the entertainment industry. It's this, it's that. No, it's all of us. All of us. And that's why there's suffering. That's why death is manifested all over the place. In the lives of children, in the lives of adults. Sickness and suffering are a manifestation of the consequences of evil. And Jesus came so that we could be not just forgiven, but delivered from the kingdom of darkness.
Folks, there's an easy way that you can help future generations of children in crisis. When you include Ware's Valley Ranch in your will or as a beneficiary, your gift doesn't cost you anything today. Your gift is free of federal and estate tax. You're not obligated and can change your mind. You can still take care of your family by including them too. And you can leave a legacy. If you believe the Lord is leading you to do this, please be obedient to Him. And then let us know of your plans by going to wvr.org and clicking on the Legacy 145 button. You'll be part of a group of brothers and sisters who are participating in Psalm 145:4, sharing God's mighty acts with future generations.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now let's look at how Jesus dealt with this problem. Jesus comes off the mountain. The teachers of the law are arguing with the disciples, with the people in the crowd. And Jesus says, what are you arguing with them about? And one man answers, teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Father actually had an accurate diagnosis. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. First sentence that the man speaks, teacher, I brought you my son. Jesus, in a moment, is going to say, bring him to me. Did you know there are a lot of people who want to get to Jesus, and you and I are about as close as they get? See, I brought you my son. Well, actually, it was your disciples I was dealing with, and they were no help. How many times do people think that they've gone to the Lord when really they went to the preacher? They've gone to the Lord when really they attended church or they watched some show on TV or whatever. Let me tell you, not only are we responsible for how we represent Him, but we need to go directly to Him. Jesus is alive. You can speak directly to God in the name of His Son, Jesus, and God listens. So, Jesus said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him, and immediately Jesus cast the demon out, and everything's sweet. That's kind of the impression you get in some of the other Gospels, but Mark gives us more details. When the demon saw Jesus, now notice that, this spirit is not some weird nebulous force, some ball of cosmic energy. It has intelligence, personality, and the capacity to see and hear. Demons are spirit beings. They don't have a body like ours, but they inhabit bodies. And when the demon, the spirit, saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? Excuse me? I would like to edit this, okay? Because, frankly, that does not seem very compassionate to me. The boy is having a seizure right there in front of Jesus. Jesus has the power to do something, and instead he's asking the father questions. But Jesus is taking time to talk to the father because it isn't just the boy who's got a problem, it's the father. We want this problem dealt with. God says, actually, there's some other things I'm working on. And this problem can actually make you more willing to deal with the other problem. Has God ever used something difficult in your life to get your attention? Has God ever let you come to Him with this urgent matter only to show you that there's this other thing that's been there for years and hasn't been dealt with? How long has He been like this? From childhood, He answered. It's often thrown Him into fire or water to kill Him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said, of course I can. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus dealt with the Father's problem. What was the Father's problem? Jesus said, if you can. Everything is possible for him who believes. I heard a deacon years ago, not in this church, thank God, and not somebody I had ordained. He was already a deacon when I got there. He prayed and sought to lay out the problem before God in prayer. And then he said words I don't think I'll ever forget. And, Lord, if you can do anything about it, just do your best. I thought, do you know who you're talking to? This is the creator of the universe. He literally spoke everything into being. Okay? If you can do anything, do your best. Just, you know, we'll understand if it's not so good, but, you know, just do your best. That's all we're asking. Pathetic. Jesus said to him, if you can, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And Jesus, with a tear in his eye, said, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. Right? No. You'd think it was because of the way that that phrase gets preached everywhere, as if that's the standard. And the part Jesus said about, if you can, is usually overlooked. It does not say in verse 25, when Jesus heard these poignant words, he rebuked the evil spirit. It says, when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. Why? Was he waiting on the crowd so that he could do the miracle and get more press? No. He went ahead and did the miracle because he didn't want the circus scene. He repeatedly, we've seen it in several miracles just before this, Jesus would take folks aside to minister to them. He'd tell them, don't tell anybody. Okay? He had compassion on people, but he wasn't trying to build a big audience. So when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Immediately, this kid is sunshine. No. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. Praise the Lord. Well, the boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. The symptoms got worse when Jesus stepped in and spoke. The symptoms got worse. In fact, they got so bad that it looked hopeless. The boy appeared to be dead. That wasn't somebody said, is he dead? Many said, he's dead. Why? Because that's the way he looked. He looked dead. Pastor, you're telling me that if I turn my problem over to God, my problem may get worse? Yeah. Well, how bad could it get? It could get to where it looks hopeless. Well, then why would I want to turn my problem over to God? Well, let's start with the fact that because he's God, okay? You see, you and I sometimes think, well, I'm not willing to turn this over to God because I'm still trying to control this situation. You wouldn't have a next breath if it weren't for him. So the idea that God can only control those things we turn over to him is insanity. God is sovereignly working out his purposes, and even his enemies are ultimately accomplishing his purpose. So God just, I mean, we're just a bunch of little puppets? No. God is such genius that he's able to let us choose. And we make choices. And God works all of that perfectly to accomplish his will. I just don't understand how that works. Perhaps that's because you and I are finite. We don't have infinite intelligence. We're not God. So, the boy appeared dead. But Jesus reached down, took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he was whole. Praise God. When the situation looks hopeless, it's not. Why do you suppose Jesus did it that way? Well, he only did what the Father told him to do. And he only said what the Father told him to say. And you see, Jesus was up to something. Look at verse 31. Because he was teaching his disciples. Jesus was at work in this time with his disciples to teach them something. What was it? He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." They had just seen a picture of someone going from death to life. But they didn't get it. They did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. And they said, I don't get what he's talking about. Do you get what he's talking about? I don't understand. Well, do you want to ask him? No, I don't want to ask him. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Folks, can you see yourself at all in this? Do you realize that we all have the capacity, even those who are following Jesus, have the capacity to absolutely close our eyes to things we don't want to see? To absolutely close our ears to things we don't want to hear. To refuse to understand what is plain and straightforward, we just don't understand because we don't want to understand. I'll tell you some good news. Their lack of understanding did not prevent Jesus from going to the cross. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. And for all of our mess, God isn't saying, "My hands are tied. I can't fulfill my word because you don't really believe like you should." And I'll tell you this, it's a lot more wonderful when you believe. When you go ahead and just accept what God says and say, "You know, that doesn't make me comfortable. I don't like the way this feels, but I'm going to go with what God says." You believe his word, it turns out it's true. Well, you're now putting a book in the place of God. No, I'm not. I'm worshiping God as God and believing what he says. Every bit of it, by God's grace.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.